This morning we're going to look at some things that there's no law against. And what are these things? They're the fruit of the Spirit. And we find them in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, if you find this worded just a little bit differently than what you have in your Bibles, this is taken from the New Living Translation. And as we get into this message, bow with me for just a moment in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You will use this message to encourage us to become better believers in Jesus Christ, better believers in our God. And we'll thank You, we'll praise You for what You do in our hearts and what You do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. According to a fellow named Donald Hutchcraft, who is, or at least was, the director for Youth for Christ, made this statement: in the next 30 minutes in New York and New Jersey, 57 young people will run away from home. 27 children will attempt suicide. 22 girls under the age of 19 years will receive an abortion. 14 teenage girls will give birth to an illegitimate baby. 685 teens will use some form of narcotics within the next 30 minutes. It's 11:35. So at 12:05, if numbers hold, if the averages hold, this is what's going to be taking place in the states of New York and New Jersey. I think that you would agree with me. These tragic statistics reveal that we are a nation that does not know the God of the Bible, nor the power and the fruits of the Spirit. And as we look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, we see the first thing listed as being a fruit of the Spirit is love. And I would define love as a never-ending, passionate regard of affection from one person to another. And I believe that we can find a great illustration of this by reading what Jesus had to say in Mark chapter 12. One of the teachers of the religious law was standing there, listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all of your strength. The second is equally important: love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." As we were reading, the one thing I wanted to take a moment to point out is that Jesus says, repeating the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, "The Lord our God is the one and only Lord." Literally, that capital word, Lord, there, is actually the name of God in the original manuscripts. And the teacher of the law looked at Jesus and replied, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying there is only one God and no other." And once again, the teacher of the religious law, the rabbi, looks at Jesus and says, "You're right, there is only one God. And I know it is important to love Him," that teacher goes on to say, "with all my heart and with all my understanding and with all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law." That word love there that Jesus was talking about, that rabbi, that teacher of the law was talking about, that's the most important thing that we can cultivate in our lives. Even when people just irritate us, just rub us the wrong way, we need to love them. They might say something mean about us. We need to love them. Because that's the command that God gives us all the way back in the Old Testament, that Jesus Christ repeats, is that we're to love the Lord our God. And then we're to love each other. I guarantee you, there's never a person in their right mind that would say, "I just absolutely hate myself." There might be things that we don't like about ourselves, but we still love ourselves. We do everything we can to make ourselves as pretty or handsome, depending on if you're a fellow, as humanly possible. So that when people look at us, they say, "There's a good-looking fella," or "Ooh, there's a good-looking girl or woman." That's how it is. And the love that we have for ourselves is the love that we should have for each other. A kind, loving, affectionate love for each person. So the question I have that goes along with this particular fruit of the Spirit: do I love people the way Jesus did? One of the illustrations that we use with children so often is, how much did Jesus love you? Jesus loves you this much. And then He died. Are we willing to love people the way Jesus did? Do we love people the way Jesus did? Often I've used this illustration in Muslim lands when churches meet and the Muslims bust into the church and ask for who's the pastor, who's the minister of this church, rather than allowing their pastor to be taken out and shot. People in that those auditoriums, well, let's rephrase that, basements and dark rooms, will raise their hand and say, "I'm the pastor." Because they love their pastor that much, and they love the people of their church that much, that they are afraid that if their pastor really did lose his life, that perhaps maybe the people within that church would lose faith. And they want their friends and their family to hold tight to the faith. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, "Those who endure to the end shall be saved." Salvation isn't simply a prayer. It simply isn't a baptism. That's only the beginning. We have to endure to the end. The second fruit of the Spirit that we see, or step two, I don't know if I like the word step, so I've kind of changed it as I was standing up here. The second fruit of the Spirit is joy, and I would define that as delightful gladness. And in Jude chapter 1, we see an illustration of that. It says, "Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away, and will bring you with great joy into His glorious presence, without a single fault. To all glory to Him, who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's not saying Jesus is God. It's saying that Jesus is God's tool, God's implement of salvation. All glory and majesty, power and authority are His before all time, and in the present, and in the time beyond all time. In this we see that joy comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away, and will bring you with great joy into His glorious presence. When Jesus Christ returns and the dead in Christ are raised to new life, when those of us that are alive and remain are gathered to be with Him, there's going to be great joy. But that joy isn't something that's only reserved for the time when Jesus Christ returns. It's something that we can have today. It's something that we can appreciate and enjoy today. This morning I ask you a question. Do I feel delight in my heart through those tough times? God's joy is available to us no matter what's taking place in our lives. No matter how hard things get, that joy is still available to each and every one of us. The third fruit of the Spirit is peace. And I would describe that as harmony, serenity, tranquility, and quietness. Ooh, I shot through that one real fast. In John 14, verses 25 through 29, I believe best illustrates this. I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when my Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything, will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. If we watch the news, or if we go to the internet and pull up a website with the news on it, everywhere that we look, we have politicians on one hand that are saying, peace, we have the plan for peace in the Middle East. We have plan for peace in Europe. We have plan for peace in Russia. We have plan for peace in the United States and in South America, wherever you want to list it. We have the plan for peace. And then you look down just a little bit further, or you just sit back and wait a little bit longer, and the next thing you hear is, well, this country is planning on bombing this country and going to war with this country. This nation is at war with this other nation. I'm trying to be a little bit vague here. I'm trying to keep you from being too political. You don't want to be politically incorrect. Even as we're watching the news, we even find that there's wars with the drug dealers. We're in all types of wars. But you know what? In the midst of everything that's taking place, we have the possibility and the opportunity for peace, not as the world can give, but the peace that passes all understanding. It's something that God gives us as we draw nearer to Him, as we draw closer to Him, as we take time to meditate on His Word, meditate on the songs that bring praise to Him. We get the peace that Christ was talking about in this passage. He goes on to say, remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I'll come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so when they do, you will continue to believe. Question I have for you today on this one point. Do I have a quietness in my soul that all things are going to work out? Remember, we're even promised there's nothing. There's not a temptation, there's not a trial greater than we can withstand or that we can live through because we have God's strength and God's power in our lives as Christians. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't started that walk of faith, I encourage you to get that power, to get that gift of salvation. The next step, the next fruit of the Spirit is patience. And I would define that as calm endurance. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, I think is a wonderful illustration of this. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to endure, which is another word for patience, depending on the translation that you might have. And endurance or patience develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. And it's interesting as we read these passages how interconnected the fruits of the Spirit really are. If we have patience, it develops character. And because of these things working together, we have our hearts filled with His love, with His peace. So the question I have, that I have for you about this fruit of the Spirit, do I have what it takes to wait on God? Do I have what it takes to wait for the things that I'm looking forward to? Sometimes young men and young women think, I'll never meet the right person. I'm 17 years old. I still haven't met my mate. I haven't met the woman of my dreams. I haven't met the man of my dreams. And they say the same thing when they're 18, when they're 19, when they're 20. Next thing you know, they're 21 and they found just the right person that God had for them. Why in the world weren't you patient back then? God's going to bring the person that He has for us. Do I have the patience? Do I have what it takes to wait on God's timing for the things that I so desperately believe is God's will for my life? The fifth fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And I would define it as the act of gentle sympathy. The act of gentle sympathy. And I believe that's best illustrated in Matthew chapter 25, which says, but when the Son of Man comes in His glory, this is Jesus talking, and all the angels with Him, then he will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the goats from the sheep. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. When the King will say to those who are on His right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And I've read this. I must be pushing the wrong button. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. When these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Whoops, there we go. When we show people simple acts of kindness, when we are gently sympathetic with people, sometimes it's easy for us to help people out in a difficult time. Think to ourselves and our minds, you know, I bet if they did something different, they wouldn't necessarily need my help. You know, they didn't do the things they did, they wouldn't need me to come visit them in the hospital. All they had to do is eat a little bit more healthy and take some vitamins. All the things that are listed there, there is always an excuse. There's always a reason to have a bad attitude about helping folks. But the thing is, the acts of kindness, the gentle sympathy, showing people when they're naked, when they're thirsty, when they're hungry, when they're without a home, when they're sick and in the hospital or at home or in prison. These are the things that show God's love to those people. And though that's the attitude, along with the act, that God's going to bless, God's going to honor, and God's going to reward. So this morning, the question I have is, do I have a compassion and a love for those who are suffering? And with that compassion and with that love, do my actions reflect that love? The things that I do. The next fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Defining that as wholesome and good, wholesome and virtuous, is how I see this word goodness as a fruit of the Spirit. And in Philippians chapter 8, I think I see how we get that goodness. Philippians chapter 4 says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right." I think the fellow that translated the New Living Test translation must have been a little bit southern. In other words, what he's saying when he says fix your mind or fix your thoughts, that means meditate. Think about. Ponder on. Literally like a cow chews its cud. Keep bringing those great thoughts that are true, honorable, and right. Think about the things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Because thinking about these things, which are also excellent and worthy of praise, these are the things that create this fruit of the Spirit. And then he goes on to say in the next verse, "Keep putting into practice all that you've learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you." And once again, here we see another part of the peace of the fruit of the Spirit being brought into this fruit of the Spirit. They're intertwined. So, the question I have is, do I think about the things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable, that are excellent and of a good report? That doesn't mean we can sit back and think in our mind, "Oh yeah, no, that actor, he's a real hunk," or "Oh yeah, that actress, she's a doll. Oh, did you see her in such and such movie?" No, that's not what that's talking about. That's talking about things about God, about the things that we read in our Bible, about the things that are encouraging. When we hear about answered prayer, those are things that are honorable. Those are things that are true. It's great to think about the way God's heard and answered prayer. It's wonderful. It's encouraging. And those are the things that we're to be thinking about. The next fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And I would define it as a strict adherence to duty and promises. Word or honor pledged. Are we faithful In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 5, I got three verses I think illustrate it. It says, it's better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Or Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, I tell you this, you must give an account on the judgment day for every idle word you speak. Or in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37, where Jesus says, just say a simple, yes I will, or no I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. One of the things we had talked about in the adult Sunday school class, here's a plug-in, a commercial. Be here in time for Sunday school at 10 o'clock. We were talking about with God, there is no gray area. You know, we think to ourselves, oh, well, I can tell this little white lie, and I won't have any problems. For example, my wife comes to me first thing in the morning and says, Mark, do I look good in this shirt? Does this outfit look okay? You know, it really doesn't match, but I say, oh yeah, baby, you're one good looking woman in that outfit. I've lied. With God, that lie is just as bad as saying, okay, this is politically incorrect, but I gotta do it. I have never inhaled marijuana smoke. You know, Bill Clinton. Couldn't help myself. But anyways. Or I've never killed anybody. Or I've never done anything wrong like that. Folks, it doesn't matter if we think it's a white lie or if we think it's the worst lie in the world. With God, it's just a lie. One's just as bad as the other. With God, there's no gray area. That's why Jesus Christ says, I've been talking to my dad, and he says, we're supposed to keep things simple. Yes, I will. No, I won't. That is good. That is bad. This is right. This is wrong. There's no in between. There's no gray area with God. And that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to have a testimony and a reputation that when people hear us say, yes, I'm going to help you with that, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt we're willing to help. So the question that goes along with this fruit of the Spirit is, do I keep my word? The next fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And this is a generous, kind, and patient type of word. Gentleness. Are we kind? Are we patient? Probably I should have added with this also. A quiet generous, a quiet kindness, and a quiet patience. Gentleness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, I think best illustrates this. Now I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ. Though I realize you think I am a timid in person and bold only when I write to you from far away. I don't know what them folks at the Corinthian church were thinking, but when I read about Paul back in the book of Acts, he was anything but timid. I don't know. I don't think I could have walked into Athens, marched my way up on the Mars Hill, which was like temple capital of the world for them anyways, and say, hey, y'all, take note. You see this unknown God? Well, I know the old boy. I don't think I could have done that. Well, maybe I could have. But anyways, it takes someone that's not very timid to be able to do that. So my question is, do I give to those who are in need? Am I gentle? Am I loving? Am I kind? Am I patient? The last fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Meaning and define the restraint over actions, emotions, and desires. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, it says a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the whole armor. I'm remembering from another translation. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news or the gospel so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arts of the devil. Stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is, this is simple, the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. The question I have with this, do I control my reaction toward others? If we take time to prepare ourselves for life on a daily basis. And we've talked about this before. The Bible actually never says anywhere you're supposed to take time and read God's Bible every single day. But it does say that we're to meditate on God's Word. We're to take time to think about the things that we read in God's Word. We're to take time to think about what the pastor has to say. We're to take time and think about Christian music and the messages of those and the lyrics of that Christian music. We're to think about what this means and how God uses this and how God can make us and mold us into the people we ought to be. Too often we become slaves to our sin. And unfortunately, too often, those of us who've been believers for a long time, we think to ourselves, you know, I have arrived. I'm not like so-and-so. I'm not a slave to alcohol. I'm not a slave to cigarettes. I'm not a slave to illegal drugs or legal drugs for that matter. But there's other things that we become slaves to that are just as bad as the other things that were mentioned. We need to take time and meditate on God's Word. Not so worried about what other people are doing. God doesn't compare us to what other people have done. God compares us to His Word. That's why another one of the things we were talking about in the Sunday School adult class is that everything that we say and everything that we do is measured by God's Word. And as we meditate on God's Word and meditate about the things that we hear, meditate about the things that are sung about, the things that are used to praise God about, that's putting on the armor of God. That gives us the ability to have the control of my reactions toward others. I used this illustration earlier. Someone comes up to me and says, "My goodness, Mark, you got one big nose. Your ears stick out really, really funny. You're fat. Gosh, how in the world did you ever get so fat?" Do I have control over my emotions? Do I have control enough over my tongue, even for that matter, the words that I say in response? Do I lash out and say, "Well, I won't go there. We'll just kind of let it go at that"? Or do I have kind words and loving words in response to someone putting me down? Look at it like this. Here in America, the worst we have to worry about is someone verbally abusing us, unless we live in Dearborn, Michigan. For those who missed the Sunday school adult hour, Friday there was Christians that were actually arrested for their faith in Dearborn, Michigan. Can you believe it? That close. But if we were to go to the Middle East, into one of these Muslim countries, we could actually be thrown in jail for our faith. Do we have enough self-control to stand like the Christians in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran? See, and I practice self-control there. You can ask me later what went through my mind. Do we have the strength? Have we put on the armor of God to stand firm? And by putting on the armor of God, we have control over our lives. The Bible challenge I have for us this morning is, those who will join me for the closing song, come forward. The closing song is, as Christians, when we look at the passages of Scripture that discuss the Christian life, is it time to take stock? Which ones am I strong in? Which fruit of the Spirit do I have the best of? Which ones do I need to strengthen? And what do I need to do to strengthen them? Then, are there any that are missing? And then begin to make the effort to make them a part of my life, or strengthen them in my life. When we think about these things, I think I pushed wrong, sorry. When we think about these things, which fruit of the Spirit do I need work in? Amazing grace, my chains are gone.